So as they make their way out, I'll get myself adjusted
all
here.
The time. All the time, God is good.
This is the truth. Let me switch this over here. This week as I studied, and especially yesterday, just found myself being not only challenged by God, but just loving His Word. It's just so good. It is so good. I mean, not that it takes me to critique whether God's word is good or not. You know, but there's times when you're just in it and you're like, you're feeling the truth of it just sink into your being. And there's some portions today that are going to sound or that are familiar, maybe some that aren't. And I know that because not only is God's word alive, but His Spirit is alive. It's alive in us. It's alive in this room. And He's going to make that word alive in you. And it's going to do the things that it was set forth to do. So let me pray for us as we get ready to share God's word. Father, we just continue to declare our dependency on You. Proclaim our thanks to You. Praise You for healing us in every way. Lord, to think that even just in our time this morning, we've been able to worship You for who You are. We've been able to participate and remember the blood that was sacrificed for us. Yeah, and that we're able to see and bless the generations that are continuing to look to know You, knowing that You are God from beginning to end. You literally hold the world in Your hands. God, the heavens are stretched out like a span of Your hand. And Lord, as we come before Your word, knowing that You have protected it, You have brought it down to us to make sure that we had it for our guidance and instruction. And yet it's the word that, as it comes alive in us, we know that that You wrote it. You testify. Your Spirit is testifying in us that we're Yours. So, Lord, as we look at this portion today, I'm asking that You would breathe life into me and my words and the words that You've given me to share, God, that they would minister to Your body who's gathered this morning to worship You, to honor You, Lord, to give of their gifts, Lord, in every way, shape, and form, Lord, as we are the body. So we thank You and trust that You will continue to lead and guide us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as you can see, we're gonna move into Luke chapter 11. And Luke is continuing now to share more of the things that Jesus taught. And we know that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And these next several chapters, we have about 9 more chapters where we're going to see and hear many of the things that Jesus taught. Some of them he probably taught several different times, like a part of what we're going to see today. But it makes up the whole scripture in the Gospels of all these different things that Jesus said. We knew that John told us at the end of his book, you know what? We couldn't even if we tried to write everything down, the world would be filled with books. But we have what God has preserved for us. And I appreciate that Luke has had quite a few unique things, and especially in these chapters. Even in today's portion, there's a section that only Luke tells us about. It was a story that Jesus told. So let me begin by reading, and I'm going to read all 13 verses that we're going to study today, though it does break into three
Luke
sections.
Chapter 11, verse 1 says,
"Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught His disciples.' And He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And He said to them, 'Which of you has a friend? Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. Yet because of his impotence, He will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is God's word. And we see here really three sections that we're going to digest. We'll spend most of our time in the first section, which does deal with the actual what to say. And we have verses 1 to 4 tell us what to say. Verses 5 to 10, or what to pray. Verses 5 to 10, we see a bit of how we're to pray. And then in verses 11 to 13, we see why we're to pray. And that's the general context that we'll use and follow. Luke has already given us a lot of references to Jesus' praying, and it's been one of the markers of his gospel. We saw in chapter 3:21, that was at Jesus' baptism. Jesus was praying, and the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended, and God the Father spoke. You might remember us talking about that. In chapter 5, verse 16, there's a reference to the fact that he prayed and got to a desolate place, an alone place, because he was going to pick the disciples. So he wanted to have some extra time with God, and he did that. Chapter 6, verse 12 refers to an all-night prayer meeting. I'm sorry, that was when he went to pick the disciples. 5:16 was when he went to some places by himself to pray. 9:18, again, he's praying relatively alone, but has the disciples with him. And this is before the Christ, the fact that he is the Christ, is revealed to them. And we have some of those verses there that, you know, it takes the revelation from Jesus for us to understand who he is. So that's a part of what we pray. It's a part of, when we're praying for our loved ones, that's what we're asking, like, God, help them to see, help them to get it. You know, Holy Spirit, you know, draw them. That's part of what his job is. He does that. And so before he was revealed, Jesus was praying. He was praying on the mountain before the transfiguration. And again, that's really another level of him being revealed. And there were these disciples up there with him. Jesus is praying, and next thing you know, he takes on a form that is a taste of the glorious form that he's going to have in the ages to come. So as we come to this portion, we see that Jesus is, he's in a certain place. Luke doesn't say where. Makes me think that it's probably one of his more familiar prayer places, more familiar prayer spots. And he did something to finish, right? It says that he was done. I don't know, maybe he got up off his knees. You know, maybe he said, amen. You know, maybe he said, and in my name I pray. You know, I found myself, you know, just kind of thinking about that, you know, because we always end every prayer with in Jesus' name because of some of the direction that the scriptures have given us. You know, anything you ask for in my name, or pray in my name. And we do that, and yet kind of in some of our circles, we get very familiar with just closing the prayer out, and in Jesus' name. So I said, well, how does Jesus?